Well, if you would, this morning turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. I'm going to read verse 18 through verse 20. Our text will be verse 19 and 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. I have been reading a book about spiritual leadership by Henry and Richard Blackaby. They state that it is the responsibility of the spiritual leader to, and I quote, take your people or your organization from where they are to where God wants them to be. And that thought seems to be their mantra, and the concept has been repeated over and over and over again. And when you think about it, it's true. Anyone in leadership position will impress people and impact an organization. Spiritual leaders should be concerned about the spiritual welfare of the people they lead and have a spiritual effect upon the organization. Therefore, when it comes to spiritual leaders leading other Christians and leading within a Christian organization, that's exactly what takes place. And it's abundantly clear that those leaders in that capacity should seek to move their people from where they are to where God wants them to be. And the church leader should strive to move or to take the church from where she is to where God wants her to be. And I would like to take this thought and offer the premise that there is a place God wants us to be. And, you know, it would be impractical for me if I should try to express every facet of life. And so I've really chosen to mention just a few things. It is my objective to encourage you to move from where you are to where God wants you to be. And as a church, that we desire that our church would move from where we are to where God would want us to be. And I'm going to utilize our text to accomplish this purpose. Now, the title of the message should be evident. The title was this, Where We Should Be. And that's what we want to talk about today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. We pray for those who could not be with us due to sickness and those who are traveling, others who are providentially hindered. And the Lord be with the sick, heal them, raise them up. Those who are traveling, keep them safe and bring them back. And Lord, we ask that we might honor you today, worship you in spirit and in truth. And we pray for those that are lost, that you might convict them of their sin, draw them to Jesus. And Lord, we pray that as the word goes forth, you would use it to impress their hearts. And for those of us who are saved, may we honor you, worship you, and praise your holy name. May we worship in spirit and in truth today. And may we learn from the word that you would bring us from where we are to where you would have us to be. God, help us to always be desirous as your people, to be found faithful and be doing exactly what you would have us to be doing, that we might always please you. So bless this time, guide our thoughts, and may everything be for your honor and glory. We ask it in Jesus' name, amen. Where we should be. There are three clear points that emerge from our text. They are evangelism, baptism, and discipleship. But before we look into these three items that will consist our message today, there are a few qualifiers that I would like to state. Number one, although I may not touch on an area which needs improvement in your life, that doesn't mean that you don't have other areas which require change. So just because I don't touch on something today, just don't automatically assume, well, I'm pretty good. That's up to you to know before the Lord. Secondly, where you are may be where God wants you to be at this time. However, God is not satisfied with the status quo and will not leave you stagnated. So be ready to move. In other words, if you're doing exactly what you ought to do today, you know what? God will always have you to be increasing, to move on and to get better and to be stronger and to be more mature and so forth. And so keep that in mind, even though you might look at your life today and say, hey, I'm doing well, not only in these areas but other areas. I'm exactly where God wants me to be. That might be the case, but down the road he might be wanting you to move and you need to be ready if that be the situation. Number three, I would surmise that we aren't exactly where God wants us to be. I would just make that summation. Therefore, we need to move from here to there. And so if you look at your life today and look at your heart, God speaks to you in some capacity that you're not where God wants you to be. I'm not talking about physical location, although that might be part of it. But if you're not in your Christian walk where God wants you to be, then I pray that God would speak to your heart that you would move to where He wants you to be. Then, number four, as your pastor, I desire to be the kind of pastor, preacher, and evangelist that God wants me to be, so that I might help you to move from where you are to where God wants you to be, and that I might be the kind of pastor so that I could direct the church to move us from where we are to where God wants us to be. That is my desire. And so let's think about these things today. 3 points where we should be. The first one is evangelism. We find it at the beginning of verse 19, where the Great Commission given to the church says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." I would submit unto you that God would have us to be evangelistic. Now, I say that in a couple ways. One, I'm going to talk about in regard to the church. Two, I'm going to talk about in regard to individuals. And then I want to also address in the third aspect in regard to lost people. I will do that under each of these 3 points. Think about this commission, and it's a commission given to the church. So in the first aspect, go ye therefore and teach all nations. This is a commission. This is a command given to the church and the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, Grace Memorial Baptist Church, a Church of Jesus Christ, a New Testament Baptist church, ought to be concerned about missions, ought to be concerned about evangelism. Why? Because we are to go and to teach all nations. Now, the matter of teaching all nations is to bring them into Christ. It is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is to preach. It is to evangelize. It is to witness and tell so that these people might be saved. We are to make disciples. That's the idea. Now, you understand and I understand that we can't save anybody, that God uses people. God will use the instrumentality of individuals to go and witness, but God is the one who saves. We understand that. But the commission was given to the church to go and to teach all nations. So we have that command. We cannot ignore that command. And if we are not fulfilling that command, then we need to move from where we are to where we ought to be. Now, I believe that is broken down into those two aspects of missions and evangelism. We have a good heartbeat for missions. I'm glad for that. And the missionaries that we support would love to see that increase. And the mission giving is good. We'd like to see that increase. It's good that our church is involved in missions, not just foreign missions, but also home missions. Those are good things. We need to be involved with that. Why? Because we can't be everywhere. And so we can help provide someone to go to a place where they've been called to go so that they can reach them, so that they can be making disciples. That's part of our commission. And the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, if we're not fulfilling that, need to move from where we are to where God wants us to be. That's His commission. But not just in missions, but also local evangelism. We not only need to look abroad, we need to look in our own backyard. So I encourage you to be a witness in the workplace. I encourage you to be a witness in your community or to the people you come in contact with. As God would lead you, God would direct you and give you opportunity, then share Jesus Christ as you have that privilege. And as a church, we can also reach out into our community in several ways. And we encourage you to participate in that as you're able to do so. You think about evangelism, a commission to the church. If we're not there, we need to be there because that's where God wants us to be. In the second avenue of that, I believe this is a mandate to His people. A mandate to His people. Because really, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is made up of what? Members. And so we think about missions and we think about mission givings and we're glad the offerings toward missions have increased. We want to see that continue to increase. But you know what? Do you know who's giving that? The members are. All of you and myself, we give to missions. Giving to missions is how you can be moving from where you are to where God wants you to be. And so I encourage you, dear Christian, If you're not participating in giving to missions, you know what? You ask God, God, is that something you would have me to do to help my church to send missionaries around the world? God, move me from where I am to where you want me to be. And so I would encourage you to give to missions. And of course, if as a people, if the commission is given to the church and we're members of this church in this location, then we as individual members need to be assisting the church in missions and evangelism. So we have that opportunity as individuals to participate in church activity, missions, and local evangelism. But then certainly that boils down, and I just mentioned that a few moments ago in regard to personal witness. You can be a personal witness in your own right. Not all the time do people have to come to church visitation. Not all the time do they have to go out and do things, knock on doors and all that. We encourage you to help if you can. But you know what? You can be a personal witness. God wants us to be a witness. And so we need to be seeking God in our lives. Lord, how am I as a witness for you? And if I'm not where you want me to be, move me from where I am to where you want me to be. Because God, I believe, is interested in evangelism, don't you think? Isn't the commission very clear as he speaks to the church, teaching all nations? So we need to be interested. It's a commission to the church. It's a mandate to the people. But also, and if you're here and you're lost, I believe that this commission, this matter of evangelism, is also a call unto the lost. Bear with me as you think about this. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Matthew chapter 9, verse 13, the last part of that verse, Jesus said, "I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You say, well, how in the world does this apply to the lost? Well, if it's a commission given to the church and that it will include the members to go from where they are to where God wants them to be, if God's interested in us to be involved in evangelism, then there are people to evangelize. There are people that are lost. And so if you're here and you're lost today, I submit unto you, you need to move from where you are, dead in trespasses and sins, a child of the devil, and you need to move where God wants you to be, and that would be to know Jesus Christ, to be saved, and be a child of the King. Now, as we think about this and elaborate for just a moment or two, turn, if you will, to the book of Romans chapter 3. These are very familiar verses, and I know to the most of you, y'all, this is old hat to you, but even though we might be preaching to the choir today, there might be some today that are lost, and God might use this to speak to your heart. And so we're not going to overlook that. We want you to know that if you're lost today, you need Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And the reason you need Jesus Christ is because you are a sinner. Romans chapter 3, verse 10. By the way, you could take notes of these or take the outline that's in the bulletin and use this as you witness to other people. And that would help you, give you a guide if you need that. If you say, well, I can't witness because I don't know what to say, then get the outline and look at it, and you could carry it with you. Romans chapter 3, verse 10 says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." Isn't that very clear? Total depravity of man. There's none that seeks after God. My friend, if you're lost today, you're a sinner, doomed, damned, condemned. Verse 23 says, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Don't fall into some of this modern claptrap where they're saying, well, you make mistakes, but it's not really sin. It's sin, my friend. And so you have sinned against God. Because of that, you're under condemnation. In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the first part of the verse, it says, "The wages of sin is death." Now, as a sinner, you're under condemnation. You're under the penalty of sin. Back in John chapter 3, listen to verse 18. Jesus said, "He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Dear sinner, you don't have to do anything to go to hell. You're already on the way. That's how you were born. That's how you live. You don't know Jesus Christ. You're already under condemnation. And so this commission given to the church to evangelize means that there are people out there that need to be evangelized, and you need to move from darkness into light. And you know what? You're a sinner. You're under condemnation. And Luke chapter 13, verse 3, Jesus said, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. There is a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. There's a God in heaven who sits on His throne. He's righteous, He's holy, He's just. And you know what? He does judge sin. And He does judge sinners. And so what's the focus? You should still be in the book of Romans. So turn back to chapter 5 and notice the focus is the Savior. Who am I going to point you to? If you need to move from here to there, you need to move from being lost to being saved. I'm not going to tell you to look to the church. I'm not going to tell you to look to the preacher. I'm not going to tell you to look to a priest or a song leader. I'm going to point you to Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is the Savior. In Romans chapter 5 and in verse 8 it says, But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Over in John chapter 14 verse 6, it says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 10. That's very eclectic. That's very narrow. You know, some people get real offended over that. But I want you to know the only Savior of sinners is Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can forgive you of your sin and give you life. And so as a sinner, you're under condemnation. How can you be saved? It is only through Jesus Christ. You deny Jesus, you do not have eternal life. You will not have a home in heaven. You deny the Son, you deny the Father. You have the Son, then you know the Father. I've asked you to turn to John chapter 10 and look at verse 17. Jesus said, Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. The focus is Jesus Christ. He came. He left heaven. He came to earth. He became a man. And He lived a perfect life. And He was crucified as a sinner, though He never sinned. Now, why did He do that? He gave up His life. He surrendered it so that He might save His people. My friend, as a sinner, you need Jesus Christ. The wages of sin is death. The rest of that verse said in Romans chapter 6, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There is no other way. If you would, turn to the book of Acts chapter 3. That being said, you see, the commission is that the church should teach all nations. As individuals, we should be interested in evangelism. And if you're here and you're lost, you need to realize you need to be moved from where you are to become a child of God. Now, I talked about your condition of being a sinner. I talked about your condemnation. I've talked a little bit about the Savior. And I want to mention, you know what you need to do? You need to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 3 and in verse 19, the message is spoken. It says, Repent ye therefore and be converted. Over in Acts chapter 17 and in verse 30, it says, In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Do you know, sinner, God has commanded you to repent. He's commanded you to turn from sin and to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a command given to all men everywhere. You are commanded to repent. I used to work with a guy up in Ohio one time, and this fellow, I witnessed to him and witnessed to him and witnessed to him. And one day he told me, he said, Well, you know what? If God would tell me that I needed to be saved, then I would be. So I turned over to the book of Acts, chapter 17. I pointed to verse 30 and I said, You know what? God has commanded you to repent. Well, to my knowledge, he wasn't saved then and he never has been saved to this day as far as I know. But you know what? God does make that command. So sinner today, you're to move from where you are to where God wants you to be. God commands you to repent. Now I said repent and believe. I believe that there inseparable graces, actually. If you truly repent, you'll truly believe. If you truly believe, you'll truly repent. And in Acts chapter 16, as Paul spoke to the Philippian jailer, they were in jail, you know, and at midnight they were singing, and an earthquake came, and a door opened, and a jailer come in. And he cried out, and if you're there, you can look in Acts chapter 16 and verse 30, where he says, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And he said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Repent and believe. You remember what it says over in the book of Romans chapter 10 and in verse 9? says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then it says down in verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you understand, my friend, that there are places you ought to be where you should be today? As a church, we should be interested in evangelism. As individual Christians, we should be interested in evangelism. If you're here and you're lost, you ought to be interested in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. God wants you to move from where you are to where you ought to be. Then, if you would, you can go back to the text if you desire to, back in Matthew chapter 28. I'm just going to take a mention of this. But the second point is baptism. Now, I spent a lot of time on the first one, evangelism, and I did so purposely because what is the most important thing if you're here and you're lost? It's to know Jesus Christ. And so I wanted to spend a little bit of time and give you the scriptures so that you might know that you have a need, that you might repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved today. But it also speaks to us and our responsibility of where God wants us to be. Therefore, in the second aspect, we look at the Great Commission, and we see in verse 19, he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Then the second thing is baptism, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Inasmuch as I expressed unto you in the first one that God would have us to be evangelistic, under this second aspect, I believe that God would have us to be obedient. It's a matter of baptism. Now, those three things that I had mentioned about the church and the people and to the lost, I address these once again. This is a commission given to the church. The church is told to go and teach all nations and then baptize those who are saved. And they are baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. What is baptism? By the way, baptism is a picture. Baptism is a symbol of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. When we immerse somebody in water, we show that they're dead to sin, they're buried to sin, and they're raised again to walk in newness of life. It pictures the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Baptism does not wash away your sin. It does not cleanse your heart. It could possibly cleanse your body if you go in dirty. The water may actually wash off the dirt because that's what water will do, but it cannot cleanse your soul. In other words, don't think that you can be baptized to gain an entrance into heaven. You will not gain merit that way. But we see as a commission given to the church to evangelize and then to baptize the converts. This commission given to the church also reminds us that this is a church ordinance. There are two ordinances, as I understand in the Scripture, that are given to the church, and it's the baptism and the Lord's Supper. And only the church has the right to administer those two ordinances. Therefore, if you have a friend at work, and that person makes a profession of faith, you talk to them, you witness to them, they're saved, you have no right to go into your swimming pool in your backyard and baptize them. You don't have that right. The commission wasn't given to you as an individual. It was given to the church, and it's a church ordinance. And only by the church can you have the authority to baptize. But we don't have a problem because we're a Baptist church. We'll baptize every new convert. We don't have to move from here to there. We're already there. Anyone that makes a profession of faith in our church, if they will submit to baptism, then we're doing what we ought to do. That is exactly what God wants us to do. Before I look at the application in regard to people, I want to also remind you there are three basic elements to the matter of baptism and this ordinance. One is the candidate, the two is the mode, and the three is the authority. Number one, the candidate must be a saved person. We believe in believer's baptism. You must be born again before you are baptized. And so if you're here today and you say, well, I was baptized when as a baby, then you don't have believer's baptism. You say, well, I was baptized before I was saved, but then later on I was saved, but I never got baptized because I was baptized before that. Then you don't have believer's baptism. You're not baptized according to the Scripture. The candidate is a believer in Jesus Christ. And the mode is immersion in water. That's the picture. That's what the word means. Baptism is to immerse. That's the Greek word means that. It's a pictures the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you say, well, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and I was sprinkled, you do not have scriptural baptism. You say, I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, I was saved and I was poured in my baptism, then you do not have scriptural baptism. Scriptural baptism is an immersion in water. That is the proper mode. And it speaks of there in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So you must be the right candidate in the right mode, and I've already suggested this, under the right authority. Only the church has the authority to baptize. Now, granted, the church could, if we wanted to, authorize each one of you to baptize. We could do that. We haven't, but we could. But the church has the authority to baptize, and only the church alone, and it is a church ordinance. Well, it's a commission given to the church. We fulfill that. We don't have to move very far on that. We might possibly want to move and get better in the area of missions and evangelism. Baptism will baptize anybody who knows Christ and comes. We'll baptize them. But what about this mandate to the people? How does that speak to me as an individual, this matter of baptism? One, I want you to know it's the first step of obedience. Why does that matter? Because if you're here and you're saved, but you've not been scripturally baptized, then you're disobedient. You're not where God wants you to be. And you know there are some people who make profession of faith in Jesus Christ who refuse scriptural water baptism. You know what that means? That means we have a child of God who's being disobedient to Jesus Christ. But you know also, as a member, if you're not scripturally baptized, I can't say you're a member if you're not scripturally baptized, can I? But if you're not scripturally baptized, you're not a member of the church. You can't be a member of the church because baptism enables you to the rights and privileges of His church. You need to be baptized and gain entrance into the church of the local church of the Lord Jesus Christ and participate in the rights and privileges of this church. And so it's a mandate to people. If you're here, you're saved, you don't have scriptural baptism, you need to move from where you are to where God wants you to be. Another reason for that is because baptism is an identification with Jesus Christ. It's like putting on a uniform. And so if you're not baptized, what it is you kind of express that you're ashamed of Jesus Christ. And you know, baptism was very important and has been important in this identification with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, back in the early church, and that's why people get all upset over Peter's expression in Acts chapter 2. He says, repent, be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You know, people say, well, you got to be baptized to be saved. No, it's just that they it was so automatic that people who were truly born again would follow the Lord in scriptural baptism that they spoke of it in such a similar expression that they just weren't disconnected. But the truth is, you have to believe before you're baptized. But every believer should be baptized. And in the early church, you know what? That cost a lot. Because as soon as they were baptized, they were ostracized by the Jewish community. They were cut off by their families many times. And that's still true today in a lot of countries. People can make professions of faith in Jesus Christ, but the difference is when they follow the Lord in baptism. Because the people know that when those a candidate would follow in baptism, they're really serious about this deal. And that's when persecution will come. And so you can identify. If you're here and you're saved, but you've never been scriptural baptized, you need to identify with Jesus Christ. You need to move from where you are to where God wants you to be. Now, I also want to address this to the lost. You know that baptism is an example to the lost. Now, I said that evangelism is a call to the lost. Baptism is an example to the lost. How can baptism be an example to the lost if you're here today and you're not saved? If we should happen to baptize, which we're not, but if we did, and you saw someone who made a profession of faith go down in the water of baptism, be raised up, you know what that does? Number one, that describes those that guy was dead in sin and is now alive unto God. Been dead, raised again. It secondly demonstrates repentance, for the previous life is over and there is new life now. Does that make sense? You know, when a lost person watches somebody goes under baptism, they say, hey, there must have been a change in that person's life. And the reason they have that change is they make a profession of faith, right? They understand that they know Christ. Christ has given them life. They've been made dead to sin, but alive unto God. So they picture that, to be made dead to sin and to be risen again. They go down in the grave. They come up out of the grave. But that also shows repentance, because if you're dead to the past and alive unto God, you don't pursue the past anymore. So to every sinner, it describes the death to life and demonstrates repentance, but it also directs back to evangelism. Why do I say that? Because the proper candidate for baptism is a person who's made a profession of faith. So lost people can come to us every day and say, hey, I want to be baptized. Well, that's fine. I can dunk you, but it doesn't mean anything. I wouldn't dunk anybody. I wouldn't baptize anybody. This church would never authorize to baptize somebody that was not born again. And so this is indeed an example to the lost, that they can see, hey, here's a person whose life has been changed by Jesus Christ. That could be me. And so you might repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ by watching baptism. And it is a call to the lost. Now you look in our text, and there's a third portion of the message that we want to make this application toward, and it is the matter of discipleship. Look into verse 20. The first two were found in verse 19. Verse 20, this is where God wants us to be, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. God would have us to be evangelistic. God would have us to be obedient. Under discipleship, I submit unto you that God would have us to be spiritually mature. Does that make sense? When people were make a profession of faith and they're baptized, they weren't to just ignore them, let them like fish out of the water. They were to teach them to observe all things. That's where God would have us to be. Now keep in mind, primarily, this is a mention of the commission to the church. And it is a church's commission to evangelize, to baptize, and then to disciple, isn't it? Therefore, if as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ we are not involved in teaching others to observe all things whatsoever God has commanded, then we are not where we ought to be. So a church of the Lord Jesus Christ needs to be active in this matter. It's an assembly activity. The church needs to be involved. The church needs to be teaching. The members of the church need to be learning. And of course, this also involves the spiritual maturity or growth, and it's a matter of holiness as well. If we want to observe all things that Christ has commanded us. And so it's a responsibility of the church. Is there anything wrong with Sunday school class? No. I know some people are offended at that, and they don't believe it's scriptural, but we're to teach believers to observe all things. Nothing wrong with that, is there? Any way we can teach, Bible study, Sunday school class, literature, we want to convey the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ so that those who are saved can learn and grow and be obedient to Jesus Christ. That's part of the commission to the church. And if we're not doing that, we need to move from where we are to where God wants us to be. But we do endeavor to teach, we endeavor to train, we want you to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. But what about the mandate to the people? What does that mean to me, and what does that mean to you? Am I, as a Christian, observing all things that Christ has commanded? Does God want me to move from where I am to where He wants me to be? And so I just summarize that under the idea of we ought to strive for spiritual growth. That's just not in conduct and obeying commands and service, but also in personal holiness. And may God work that into our heart to realize, hey, I'm not everything I ought to be, and so I want to be what Christ wants me to be. I want to move from where I am to where He wants me to be. There are several verses. I'm going to invite you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm just going to provoke you to that point. I'll be there in just a few moments. A very familiar passage. But while you're turning over there, and I think about spiritual growth, this is a mandate to God's people, that we would observe all things whatsoever He has commanded us. Listen, if you will, to 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to read a few verses. You go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 2 says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. If you do not read and study your Bible, you need to move from where you are to where God wants you to be. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 15 to verse 16 says, but as He which hath called you is holy, So be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. If you're not absolutely perfect in your life, pure and holy in everything that you do, you need to move from where you are to where God wants you to be. Now that certainly includes me, doesn't it? We're all sinners. None of us are perfect. We're not holy and pure in our conduct, are we? That means there are areas where we need to move from where we are to where God wants us to be. Titus chapter 2 verse 11 says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." And if we as Christians are not living soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, then we need to move from where we are to where God wants us to be. The grace of God teaches us that. Now, I've asked you to look into 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, the very familiar text. It says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." I encourage you, dear Christian friend, to love the word of God, hear the word of God taught, hear it preached, get into it yourself, read it, study it, memorize it if you have opportunity. But you know what? You need the word of God. If you are ignoring the word, you have to move from where you are to where God wants you to be. That's where God wants you to be, studying His Word. Now, you're there in 2 Timothy. Now, I said this was a mandate unto His people to strive for spiritual growth, but you know what this will also do? Look there in chapter 2. This will help mentor others. It's our responsibility to teach, right? To teach others that they would observe all things. That's part of our responsibility, not only in a church application, but as individuals, we want to do that. Look at what Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, verse 1. "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." We can teach others who will teach others, and that's what we want to do. We want to be where God wants us to be, and that is being who we ought to be for Jesus Christ and then teaching others to be what they ought to be for Jesus Christ. And then go back to 1 Timothy chapter 4, just a few more pages to the left, and look at verse 12. Not only can we strive for spiritual growth, in order to also mentor others, we can also be an example in this area. And as Paul wrote to Timothy in verse 12 of chapter 4, he says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers, in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity." And my friend, that's where God wants us to be. If we're not there, God wants us to move from where we are to where He wants us to be. We can be an example. We can be a mentor. We can strive for personal spiritual growth. That's a mandate to His people. Now, under this last category, talk about discipleship. We know it's a commission to the church. We know it's a mandate for His people. But in the last sense, then, in regard to if you're here and you're lost, I want you to see that this is an opportunity for the lost. And you might be sitting there saying, "Well, how in the world can people being obedient to Jesus Christ and obeying all things whatsoever He has commanded, how can that be an opportunity for the lost?" Listen, if you will, to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to them that ask you the reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ." Be ready to give an answer. You know what? Lost people can look at you and see. They may not like it. They may condemn it, but they see that you're different. They see that you have a good conduct in Jesus Christ. And so Paul told the Philippian church in Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, "Only let your conversation be as it becomes the gospel of Christ." Conversation is not just speech, it's a matter of life, it's your conduct. Let it be becoming the gospel. That means that every Christian can be an example. We've already mentioned that anyway, but we're not just an example to other believers, we're an example to lost people. That they can look and see that there's something different in us, and we have a different mandate, and we have a life and a service to Jesus Christ. That's an opportunity for the lost to look at us and see our service for Him. So I read in 1 Peter chapter 2, listen, verse 11. "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation," again, it's your lifestyle, honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. You can be a witness. You can be a testimony to the lost. If you're not, you can move from where you are to where God wants you to be. Lost person, you can look at a saved person, see their life, see their conduct, realize you need Jesus Christ, and move from where you are to where you ought to be. Now, one last verse, Titus 3:8 says, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. That's a good example, isn't it? It's an opportunity for the lost to see the true conduct of those of us who are truly born again. And so in this great commission, we see evangelism, we see baptism, and we see discipleship. And it's true for the church, it's true for the individual, and you know what? It's true for the lost. And God wants to move us from where we are to where God wants us to be. In conclusion, I say this unto you. I appreciate your patience today. You've heard the message, and I trust you sense God's work in your heart. God has to move in you. But I ask you, are you willing to be where God wants you to be? Sinner, would you be saved today? God's commanded you to repent. Would you repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? To the Christian who is not baptized, you're here and you realize, you know what, I don't really have scriptural baptism. You need to submit to scriptural water baptism. You need to move where God wants you to be. And to the Christian who is spiritually immature, that you might desire to have maturity and to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ and to be more like Him. Do you have that desire? Are you willing? And then, of course, as individual Christians, you know, since we are part of this church, you know, are you willing to be involved in evangelism and involved in discipleship? That's all part of it, isn't it? Are you willing to be where God wants you to be? I just want to challenge you with that thought. Secondly, do you desire that this church would be the kind of church that God wants her to be, that God wants us to be? What are the three things we mentioned today? Evangelism, baptism, and discipleship. Are you willing for our church to be exactly that? I pray that we would be as God would have us to be. And then finally, I say this and I stop. Is there something that I can do as your pastor which would help you to move from where you are to where God wants you to be? If so, please let me know, because that's what I want to do. I want you to move from where you are to where God wants you to be. I want to lead you from where you are to where God wants you to be. I want this church to be where God wants us to be. You can help me do that by letting me know what I can do to help you. Where we should be. Just touched on a few things, but hopefully it's been practical and helpful and insightful. Let's stand. Brother Paul, would you please come? I appreciate your patience. The invitation simply is this: right where you are, if you're lost, you can be saved. If you need help, you come. Walking in the aisle won't save you. Repentance and faith in Jesus Christ will. Is God speaking to you, convicting you, moving you? All sinner, that you might be saved today. Saint, that you might be doing what God would have you to do, that you would be where He would want you to be. Father in heaven, bless your word, and Lord, overcome my frailty of speech, and just touch every heart as only you can. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. And Lord, just cause your people to be faithful. Help us to be where we ought to be. Cause this church to be where we ought to be. And we ask you to save the lost. In Jesus' name, amen. What number, Brother Paul?